when it gets dark tonight, many Muslims here in Melbourne will be breaking their daily fast. Let's talk a little bit about iftar, Ramadan, and Moroccan culture on Foodie Tuesday. We are joined by Hannah Asafiri. Hi, Hannah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
She is, of course, the chef and owner behind the Moroccan Soup Bar in Fitzroy, the offshoot, the Moroccan Soup Bar To Go, and she's a newly minted OAM. She's something extraordinary. She's an om. Yes, she's an om. So around Victoria, how do you break your fast? 1300 222 774. Let's start with the basics, Hannah. What's Ramadan?
My chair just fell. So simply, Ramadan is an opportunity for Muslims to reaffirm their social and Islamic values and principles. And it is through that month, and its benefits are cumulative, that we refrain from and endeavour to discipline and tame the need for immediate gratification. A very small part of that is food related. You would be hard pressed to see that expressed anywhere else, though. Food is, you know, a component of it, but ultimately it is about a training exercise to tame our egos and to keep in check our ability to transcend so that we can re-engage our humanity and reaffirm our values.
And I guess it's pretty similar, actually, to the fast that Jews have on Yom Kippur and the change in diet a lot of Christians experience in the lead up to Easter.
Absolutely.
There's something in that discipline, isn't there?
There is. I do think, however, that we all systems of belief have departed from the initial intention and motivation behind Ramadan or fasting. It's just become mostly a scenario where you refrain from eating and then you have a feast, a gluttonous feast at the end of a day.
Can I just ask this? Surely, because it moves with the lunar calendar, yes. I think. So surely if you're an Australian Muslim, this time of year,
you're happy.
You're thinking, this is much better than the middle of summer. Because it's dawn till dusk, isn't
Absolutely.
It? So when it's light, you don't eat or drink.
No.
And I'll never forget having a chat with some of the Muslims I know when it was over summer, like a hot summer.
Yes.
That's just excruciating.
Look, it is, but surprisingly, I think if you refrain in terms of consumption, if you refrain from drinking and eating, then your system stops getting hungry and stops wanting anything else. But the minute you, because a lot of people say to us, you know, don't be crazy. Why don't you drink? It's a hot day and you're dehydrated.
I kind of get it. I understand the appeal of fasting. I usually fast on Yom Kippur one day a year, which is probably the only part of Yom Kippur I actually observe, really. So there's a part of me that finds that appealing.
Mm.
There's also a part of me that thinks if I had to fast for a month from dawn to dusk, I think I'd go crazy.
But I think it's actually extraordinary how it enables you like nothing else. And when I say, I don't mean just rhetorically, but it does enable you to discipline yourself enough, and especially during these times where everything's about immediate and instant gratification.
Yeah, I get
it. It gives us that ability to kind of say no.
Hang on.
But its benefits are felt far beyond food and eating. They're felt, even the most arrogant and aggressive of human beings is humbled throughout the month.
By that little bit of discipline. Hannah Asafiri is with us from the Moroccan Super. Love to know how you break your fast.
Dates.
I want to get to dates because I don't quite get the date thing. 1300 222 774. Kathy saying, as a non-Muslim, we come together for iftar every year with our kids and their school community. Tonight is the night. Dinner at Coburg High School. Someone else, what better way to break a fast than pizza and a glass of red wine from Louis Gisman? Well, I'm guessing if you're fasting for Ramadan, you're probably not drinking wine, but who knows? Seb in Mount Eliza, as an Italian, I break my fast between lunch and dinner with pasta. although Saad from Noble Park saying this, dates and milk. Okay. What's with the dates thing?
Well, dates are packed with nutrients, sugars, energy. I mean, you need that immediate, and sure, there wasn't the science behind it that there is now in terms of nutrients, but it is probably one of the most nutritious things you can have in breaking your fast. I mean, aside from that, there's a tradition of dates and their benefits inside Islam. But purely from a physiological point of view, that together with a soup is also...
So it's soup and dates is how usually people break the fast.
And it varies. The dates don't vary so much, but the soup and the composition of the soup varies from region to region across the Muslim world. But yes, and it ends up, I mean, even scientifically, if you look at some of the benefits, it immediately gives your body what it needs, the glucose, the sugar. Well, yeah, and the nutrients, and it's anti-inflammatory. I mean, there's a whole host of tiny little date is packed with, it's better than any vitamin pill, I reckon.
No doubt. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. I'd love to know how you break the fast. Also, if you've got a question about Ramadan, we'll see if Hannah Asafiri can answer it for you. So 1300-222-774, renowned Islamic scholar, Hannah Asafiri. But we'll give it a try. We will give it a try. And love to know how you break your fast. We've also got a recipe that we will put online at abc.net.au/recipes. If you don't mind me asking, have you always fasted at Ramadan, or are you an occasional faster at Ramadan? No, What's your practice?
I'm a faster of Ramadan.
Did you do it? And you're supposed to do it when you're a kid?
You reach an age where you can.
Yes.
And different cultures and different groups will decide when that age
is. When that starts, yeah.
But usually around puberty is, you know, the time that you begin to engage your values and what they mean. Yes, we were always encouraged to do it, but obviously as kids you kind of find naughty ways not to. But then you become an adult. Well, because you're doing Ramadan in an environment that doesn't do Ramadan, especially.
Yeah, it's harder, isn't it?
It's harder. Your team requires you to play sport in the middle of a hot day, and nobody has a compassionate understanding. Yeah. So as a kid, I think it's more difficult. But as you get older, I think you absolutely
get used to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ali's called from the city. How do you break your fast, Ali?
Yeah, hi, Raf. I break my fast just with dates and water, but I was saying the best way to break fast actually with a group of friends, and what we generally do is invite our close friends over and we go to their places. So it's almost like a month of small dinner dates with close friends, and you break fast together and talk about why we fast. And
Breaking fast with a group like every night for a month?
Not every night. Generally, it might be about 3-4 nights a week.
Okay. Actually, that's really interesting what you say about a group, because I had an amazing experience of being in Pakistan, in Islamabad actually, and it was Yom Kippur, which is the sort of Jewish Day of Atonement, which is the one day of the year Jews fast, and it was obviously Ramadan as well, and it got dark, and the people in the – I was looking at rugs, funnily enough. We were talking about rug shops earlier. And they were breaking their fast, and they insisted that I sit down with them and break the fast with them, and it was this sort of wonderful coincidence. So I hadn't quite clocked the group thing, so I'm glad, Ali. And do you, like, is it, what's the dinner, Ali, called at the very end of the month? Isn't there a name for the final breaking of the fast?
You mean the celebration at the end?
The celebration at the end. What's that called again?
Eid.
Eid, sorry, right. Yeah. And that's a party as well, isn't it, or equivalent of?
That's the party.
Yeah, it is, and obviously that's quite big as well. But I have to admit, I agree with Hannah that I think sometimes it's important not to go overboard with the food and stay disciplined and everything with that.
Okay.
And yeah, so I'm more along those beliefs.
So does it kind of sort of remind you about how good it can feel to be restrained, Ali?
Definitely, and I think obviously it's not just about how, you know, a lot of the time when people get asked, they might say, oh, look, it's quite important to know how the homeless feel and they struggle and going without food and water. But more than that, it's about being observant and coming back to your spiritual.
It's like a personal discipline, no?
Of course, of course. And reconnecting with Islam and reconnecting with the Creator.
Yeah, good for you, Ali. Look, thank you. It's 4:45 on your ABC across Victoria and on ABC Radio Melbourne. On Foodie Tuesday, talking about people not eating food during the day, it is Ramadan for observant Muslims around the world. Mohammed Din Hoppers Crossing, how do you rate your fast?
Hi, I'm from Sri Lanka originally. We have this South Indian culture and Sri Lankan culture where we breakfast with the dates necessarily and followed by a rice porridge.
Good. Gives you sustenance for the day, yeah?
Yeah.
And how do you break your fast, Mohammed, at the end of the day?
End of the day is necessarily it is, of course, with the family, mostly with the family.
Yeah, nice.
And back home, of course, we all get together in the mosque where they will have a communal meal. mainly porridge, rice porridge, as I have said.
Yes.
And then some lot of water, lots of, you know, water. And then some short eats like cutlets or something like that, because we like spicy food. And maybe some cakes and things like that.
Sounds fantastic.
Followed by a soft meal, like, you know, not really like noodle type of things.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I'm going to come to your place next time, Mohammed, next time I get to an iftar dinner. That sounds like a lot of food, huh?
But it is, I mean, so this year what we have done is extended our opening hours. So I think it is communal.
Oh, right, okay.
And when I say it's reaffirming the very foundations of what it means to be a Muslim, and it's a reminder to come back to those foundations and values.
Yeah,
so
right.
Human rights, social justice, and communal in nature. It's not individualistic. So we have opened for the entire month of Ramadan an hour earlier.
Yeah, right.
And we did a call out, especially for those not connected, without families, and those who...
Is it busier or quieter during Ramadan, the business?
The business is the same, the opening hours, but the extended hour is specifically for Muslims non-Muslims, whoever rock up to. So, and I just think the importance of community is also much more evident during months of Ramadan and fasting. And
no doubt.
Yeah.
Let me just put that one on hold. Mm-hmm. Getting a bit crazy here with the buttons. Amin is in Roxburgh Park. Amin, how do you break your fast?
Oh, hi, Raf. First caller, long listener, long time.
Doubly
one more
welcome,
time, dates and soup.
Dates?
Yeah,
and soup. What sort of soup?
Lentils and, lentil soup, yeah.
And why soup? Is that just something you grew up with, or is it a choice?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I grew up with soup and dates.
I think it's easier to digest, first off. So you have the date, and then you have the liquidy but hearty soup, and then a couple of main meals. But...
We should go through your recipe, Hannah, before we get some traffic details.
Yep.
Why don't if I read through the ingredients, and then you can tell me what we all need to do. We will put this online.
Yep.
But there's some black-eyed beans, some cannellini beans, some chickpeas, diced carrot, diced potato. This will be online, so you don't need to write it down. Mm. Some diced celery, onion, garlic, tomato paste, parsley, coriander, and lemon juice. Is this one hard?
Oh, this is so easy to make.
Tell me what to do.
So easy to make. You chuck them all together, soak them overnight, and the next day saute all those other ingredients, the garlic, the onion, the herbs, and then throw them on top and let them boil, and
hearty. You've skipped over the... So if I did that, it's not going to taste the way
it'll
you make it
taste. Exactly the same.
No. Tell me the secret trick, the way Hannah Asafiri makes it. What is going to make it taste extra good? What do I need to remember?
Well, I think definitely soaking the legumes will allow them to, when cooked, cooking,
so
it won't take
you've got to buy them
long.
Dry and soak them, not buy them tinned?
You can't buy them tinned.
Okay, okay. So there's the first thing, important to know. Okay.
Okay.
And anything else?
Oh, and in sautéing the onion and the garlic and all those flavours and the aromas together, and I think the more you throw in there in the beginning, the more you give it dimension and flavour. This will be... substantial enough to be had as a main meal.
Yeah, definitely.
The way in which it's made. And you can, use your discretion. We obviously put potatoes, carrots, but if you want to add any other veggie
veggies.
And just keep it to boil so that it can enrich its flavour and not be so kind of brothy. Variations of it. Some people throw fish in there. Some people put lamb. I'm vegetarian, so we don't. But it takes nothing away from the integrity of flavours not to have meats in there either.
Yum. Mm. Bob's in Gippsland, talking about a whole lot of different sorts of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Bob is in Gippsland. What sort of fast are you talking about, Bob?
Yeah, just on a different tangent, when you were saying about smooth and taste, what you were talking about, your cakes and that sort of stuff. We did a trip up the Northern Territory on the Daly River, which is crocodile infested. But we were on the river for 13 days, having pretty well dried foods and that sort of stuff, like almost hiking food.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we got to the destination, the Daly Crossing, we went to the general store and a meat pie from Victoria. I won't tell the brand, but meat pie from Victoria and the Big M never tasted so good after after dried food that you had to reconstitute for 13 days on this river, which is a trip of a lifetime. But the junk food, I must admit, when you were talking about your friends drinking, oh, I mean eating.
Yeah, no, a lot of Israelis, they do packet chocolate cake and instant coffee always. There's something satisfying about that.
Yeah, beautiful. But our junk food tastes good too, bud. So, yeah, great show.
Fantastic, Bob. Bit like drinking beer after riding a horse. I don't know why, but a beer just tastes different. Once you've got off a horse.
I've never been on a horse, so...
You've never been horse riding?
No, so therefore, maybe that's why I don't
do you drink alcohol?
No.
Right, okay. Well, it's okay, you don't need to...
Well, it's because I don't ride horses,
That's right. You see, if you rode a horse, you'd feel the desperate need to ride, to have a beer. A few other questions. I think I know the answer to this one, but from Rowan. How do you observe Ramadan in a place like the Arctic Circle when the sun doesn't set? I think do they use Mecca?
Well, interestingly, Islam is also founded on common sense. And I'm just saying that obviously, I mean, the closest place to you, you use that time.
Oh, so they don't, because Mecca, how far is that from the equator? I'm just trying to remember. It's not too far from the equator from memory, Mecca. So you don't use Mecca, you use what the closest sort of city that would have a sunset and a sunrise.
Well, yeah, and you use your discretion, but also those places are not really habitable, are they? So, I mean, I don't know how many Muslims are living there.
Oh, there's got to be some.
No, there's got to be some, absolutely. But that's why Islam kind of gave you the capacity to use common sense and agency and,
I love something, it's like the difference between pure and applied, isn't it? Yes. Sadiqa's in Wallen. What do you want to tell us, Sadiqa?
Oh, g'day, Rav. Love your show. How are you going?
Hi. Very good. How do you break your fast?
Yeah, look, we usually break our fast by we have dates and something cool to drink.
Yes.
And then we get up for prayers. You know, that takes 3 to 4 minutes. So while we're digesting the dates, you know, I think that's a really fantastic way, because instead of sitting down, you know, to a full meal, you know, you might get indigestion. Right. So we break it with the dates and then the prayers.
Sounds fantastic. They're a superfood, aren't they, Hannah, before I let you go?
Well, just one thing, and it is an announcement, because, like I said, Ramadan is an opportunity to reaffirm one's values, and often the forgotten people during Ramadan are the women, the mothers, the orphans, the divorcees, the women who have no families. So we at the Moroccan Super are celebrating those women for a women-only iftar.
All right.
And we are doing this in conjunction with the Queen Vic Women's Centre.
Nice.
In a couple of weeks. So, and that is what I mean about using it as an occasion to actually reaffirm your values, not just to get together and eat, but rather speak to the times upon us. But thank you so much for having me. It was such
absolute
a
pleasure.
Joy. Thank you.
Hana Safiri, her Harira soup with all those delightful beans and chickpeas and everything, that'll be on the ABC webpage. Just go to abc.net.au/recipes. And Hana, of course, is the chef and owner of the Moroccan Soup Bar.
If you need to lift the soup, just find preserved lemon somewhere and throw it inside. Oh, my goodness, another dimension altogether.
Magic ingredient.